Today we're going to be reviewing the book, Is Marriage for White People? The book is written by Ralph Richard Banks. Professor Banks is the professor of law at the Stanford Law School. Professor Banks, welcome to the Ink Spot with Stanley G. Robertson.
Okay, it's a pleasure to be with you, and you can just call me Rick.
You discussed a number of issues in the book related to the decline of marriage throughout American society, but in particular within the black community. You discussed two concepts that I'd like for you to elaborate on. Just give us a short version of this notion of marrying down versus marrying out.
So marrying down refers to marriage between a in my book, refers to marriage between a professional black woman and a working class black man, a woman who's graduated college and a man has not, who is not. And marrying out refers to marrying across racial lines, that is, marrying outside of the group.
You, in fact, stated that marriage between black men and black women is on the decline, has been on the decline. And as a matter of fact, you state that black women are the least likely group of people on the planet to be married.
Well, I don't know if I say on the planet, but I say in our nation. So it is true. Marriage has declined throughout the society, right? So that's the first point, is that everyone, you know, whites and other groups are less likely to be married now than, say, their grandparents' generation was. So marriage has declined throughout society, but it has declined most among African Americans. And within African Americans, it's declined more among black women than among black men. And in the book, you know, examines why that is. And a pivotal problem for black women is that although they confront the smallest pool of men within their group, that is black men, who can be who are able and willing to be good husbands, they also are the least likely to marry across group lines.
Before you go across group lines, what about this notion of what you call the success gap? How does that contribute to the decline of black marriages?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of factors underlying the marriage decline, and I want to illuminate the broad cultural and economic changes. But one of the pivotal economic changes is that women are doing better economically, and men are doing worse economically. And this is, again, is true for all groups, but we see it in a very acute fashion with African Americans, where nearly twice as many black women as men graduate from college. And that's every year. So if you look at, you know, younger generations of people, there are nearly twice as many black women college graduates as there are black men college graduates. And then at the other extreme, you find that black men are more likely than any other group to go to jail. So 1 in 10 black men in their early 20s or 30s, in their 20s or early 30s are in jail. 1 in 4 will go to jail or prison at some time. And so that leaves black women with a fairly thin pool of men to choose from. So, yes, I do say that maybe it would be a good thing, or we should think that it would be a good thing if more black women would feel the freedom to marry across racial lines and marry someone who, you know, works with them, right? Or some guy who went to college with them, or someone who is in their same professional, economic, educational space, even if that person is of a different race.
Okay, you make a statement in the book, and I'm quoting from the book. It says, for black women, interracial marriage doesn't abandon the race, it serves the race.
Are you sure I said that? No, I did say that. I did say that, and I stand behind that.
All right. How do you defend that premise?
And here's the primary part of the problem is that, you know, because there are so few black men, let's just think about the middle, you know, college-educated folks, right? There are so few black men relative to black women that part of the problem that undermines relationships is that black men have too much power and black women have too little power. And black men have more power because there are fewer of them, and they have a lot of options outside the relationship relative to the options that black women have. And, you know, so you can just think of it that, you know, you have a couple in a relationship, and it's almost, you know, they're trying to negotiate their relationship and figure out what kind of relationship they're going to have. And the man holds a lot of the cards because they both know that if this relationship doesn't work out, he has a lot of options because there's so many beautiful, talented, smart black women out there. And then they also know that the woman doesn't have so many great options because there are not a whole lot of black men out there. And so that's part of the problem. And one way that black women can counteract or undermine or you know, minimize that power imbalance would be to expand their own options. And if black women could expand their own options, then frankly, black men would treat them better, because the black men would know that if you don't treat this woman right, she's going to leave.
Do you see that whole notion that black women are doing better? Is that part of the racist system that has been set up in this country, whereby we are, the system is designed to push black women to the top, keep black men in the fringes so that we can somehow destroy the marriage, and therefore...
Right.
Do you buy that theory?
Well, let me just say for the record. So my next book actually is on that issue, right? Like, how did this come about? How did we get to a situation where nearly twice as many black women as men graduate from college? I mean, think about that, right? These are people who have grown up in the same households, and the women are going to college and the men are going to jail, right? How did that come about, right? So that's actually a whole other book, but this book, and I'm open to what you're saying, and I have sympathies toward that view. But this book is really a book about what do black women do given that situation, right? Given that situation, how did they respond to it? And what we've pressured black women to do, basically, and told them they should do through all sorts of ways, is that, you know, we got to combat this system. And the way we combat it is by black women, you joining with black men, and you forming good families and strong families and raising the next generation of children. And that's how we combat it. But in fact, and that's basically what black women have done. But in fact, that approach has not worked so well. We have a lot of messages that encourage people. And I'll tell you, a lot of it comes, I mean, we sit in the popular media, right? If you look at the Tyler Perry movies, which are enormously popular, you know, the moral of all those stories is that what black women need to do if they want to be happy is abandon their highfalutin ways and stop being so snooty and just realize that they can find the man they need if they just hook up with this guy who's Idris Elba, who's an auto mechanic, right, or the bus driver. And that's kind of the story that black women have been sold. This is the same story that Steve Harvey sells, right? And that Nightline sold on the special that Steve Harvey was in, is that you black women, you're doing something wrong, you know, you're uppity, and you need to come off that high horse and get with these guys who can make you happy. And that's a story, and that's a story that black men enforce a lot too, right? Where black men in all sorts of ways punish and censure black women for marrying across racial lines, as though the black women are somehow betraying the race, or as though they're being disloyal, as though they're kind of selling out. Now that, you know, you got your college degree, you think you're better than me, right? And a lot of black women have heard those sorts of things. And so, you know, this is not about literally being forced, but it's about being pressured in all sorts of ways to think that you have fewer options than you in fact do.
We've got a couple more callers hanging on the line. Also, we have Mary Mitchell, Chicago Sun-Times columnist. We want to get into the conversation. Mary is going to join us on the second segment of the show at the roundtable to debate the issues in the book. So, Rich,
well, now if you're bringing her, you got to keep me on then.
Yes, we want to bring her in right now. Mary, thank you for being here on the Ink Spot.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Mary, you read the book, Is Marriage for White People? What do you think?
Well, first of all, let me just say to the author that I thought he did a phenomenal job and a compelling job just laying out of the issues facing black families. You know, there's lots of information there, so I think it is a book that is well-researched and well-written. My concern with the premise that black women, successful black women, because we're talking about middle-class black women, educated women, that they consider dating across racial lines as opposed to marrying down. And I had a problem with that. And this is my problem. Using anecdotal evidence, interviews, and instances of people who have relationships that did not work out, we understand that. We understand that the marriage divorce rate is high in this country for all groups, including African Americans. But there are successful people who have married down, so to speak. In other words, they may be a college-educated woman who married the plumber, or married the mail carrier, who married people who did not obtain an advanced degree. And some of these men went on later on and did obtain their degree. So I just think that suggesting this book to me, I left feeling that this book was making the case for black women to, as successful black women, to consider dating across racial lines more so than dating within the race.
what the data tell us is that, I mean, it is possible, of course, to have marriages across class lines and between people who are different, you know, economic situations and educational situations that work out, right? Of course that's possible. But a strong predictor of whether a couple gets divorced, frankly, is if the husband is not working or if the husband doesn't earn a good income. That's a very, very strong predictor of divorce. It's also the case that in situations, and this is just based on research, not my opinion, that in situations where the wife earns substantially more than the husband or where there's an economic gap between the two, those families are much more likely to divorce. The result of this is that African Americans, and I quibble with Ms. Mitchell just on one point, divorce rates are actually have declined a lot since the early 80s or late 70s when they were at their peak. Marriages among college-educated people now are much, much more stable than they were 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. Even those marriages are pretty stable. The exception to that is African Americans. And part of that reason that black people, as many as two out of every three black couples will divorce. Two out of every three.
Based on something other than economics.
There could be a lot of things going on, right? But
exactly.
Again,
you can't just lay it on economics.
I'm not saying this out, but the best available research says, right? It's not my opinion. The best available research suggests that part of the reason we have much higher divorce rates among African Americans is because we have these economic and educational divides between spouses, and that makes African Americans much more likely to divorce, contributes to black children being much more likely to be raised by a single parent.
My concern is that when we begin to start a conversation and seeing that the idea that the answer to this divorce rates, the answer to single parenting, the answer to the inequity in education between black women and black men is for women, black women, to marry outside the race. I have a problem with that.
Well, let me put it this way.
I think that there needs to be some strengthening. There needs to be a lot more emphasis put on strengthening relationships between black men and black women. We got a lot of problems.
Okay,
a lot of it doesn't have anything to do with income.
Let me explain this remedy idea, though. So the idea that it's the remedy is that one of the problems, especially among college-educated African-Americans, is that black men have too much power, black women have too little, black men are the deal-makers, black women are the deal-takers. That's because the men have a lot of options that results in black men being more likely than any other group to have multiple relationships with more than one woman at a time, to being less likely to be faithful to a woman, whether they're married to her or not. And for black women, it results in increased rates of abortion, of sexually transmitted diseases and all sorts of other bad outcomes, and that's because there's this power imbalance. It's something that happens throughout society.
Infidelity is a problem throughout society. I think, you know, we do a lot of research on black infidelity. Lately, we've been doing that. But white men are not faithful either.
Rich, don't respond to that. What I'd like to do.
Hold on. Let me just give you one piece of data here. This is hard for me as a black man to even say that.
I want to find out what a couple of more of these callers have to say. Guys, make it very quick. You got like 15 seconds. Art, what do you have to say? Your question or comment?
Bottom line is, I don't agree. I agree with some of the things that he said, but I totally disagree with the interracial marriage completely. Women outnumber men, period, in the world. So the remedy is, for in our case, that like in Africa, a black man will have to marry more than one woman that is qualified and is able to take care of his family. So that's going to be one of the remedies. But to say we should dilute our race to another culture because of that,
Let's go with Malik. Malik, you are on the Ink Spot, WVON. Your question or comment?
Yeah, I would like to say that I think most black women want black men more than white women want white men. I think that black men just have some intangibles that they're desired more by their women.
He said, there's a whole chapter on swag in the book where he said, black men have it, no one else has it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think we need to talk about swag just a little bit. Thank you for your call, Malik. Alma, you are on the Ink Spot. Your question or comment?
As a mother of two daughters, I think that it's impossible. I heard Mary mention about, you know, the availability. It's difficult now to even get dates. women have hard times getting dates. You can't even be exposed. So they need more opportunities to have more people to choose from.
Shawna, you are on the ink spot.
Yes, I just think Ms. Mitchell is afraid to advocate the black women to go with the other men outside of our race because she knows that we will go once that floodgate is open. Because they do have a lot more.
Shawna, thank you for your comment. What do you say to that, Mary?
It's a numbers game, Mary. She's saying it's a numbers game.
Well, it's definitely, I'm not saying black women should not go outside the race. What I'm saying in terms of policy question, social policy, when we begin to advocate for black women to wholesale leave the race, leave the black men who have less money, who may be less educated, that the solution is to go and look toward white men to father children, to marry, and to build a life with, I think we're heading in the wrong direction.
Well, see, Hold on, Professor. He's not advocating it. Just the fact we are so grounded in this idea that you can't step out of your race that even the mere suggestion by this professor seems like it's being pushed upon you.
Well,
and if we read the same book,
we did.
This man did not advocate and say, go out and find a white man. He just said, keep your options open.
He advocated in the book that is one solution. And spent a lot of time on that subject.
So that solution shouldn't be on the table.
Let me just clarify. I think it would be a good thing for black women to feel free to do the same thing black men do, basically,
right.
And other groups of people do, which is to find love where they can, even if that means crossing a race line. I agree with Ms.
And they're already doing it,
though. Right? No, black women are not. Black women are the most.
But there are a lot of black. There are a lot of black women dating white men and marrying white men.
The number is growing according to the U.S. Census. According to the U.S. Census Bureau,
right.
Black women are less than half as likely as black men to marry someone of a different race.
That's not solely because black women aren't interested. Let's turn that around. Are white men interested?
And
How black women are less likely to be seen as, you know, attractive or whatever when it comes to these dating sites.
This is true.
So it's not just black women who don't want to step over the race line. They have to be desired. Takers. I just don't think we can put it all on black women. And I don't want people to think for one minute that I'm saying, oh, no, they shouldn't date white men at all. I'm saying that's not a wholesale solution. We need to look at some other areas.
I'm not putting the responsibility on black women. I'm actually putting the responsibility on all of us because we're all the ones who create the expectations and the pressures and the dirty looks that women get if they are with the man of another race. We're the ones who do all of that as a way of policing black women and controlling black women and, you know, even
black men.
Not black men, no, black women, and black men even not allowing black women to do the same thing they've done. So that's the issue.
Folks, we are out of time. We have been talking with Professor Ralph Richard Banks regarding his book, Is Marriage for White People?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Professor Ralph Richard Banks of the Stanford Law School talking about his book, Is Marriage for White People? Mary, what did you think of the book? You give a book a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
I think it's a very interesting book, and I give it a thumbs up in terms of if you want to read something that's very controversial, but it'll make you think, that's the book for you.
Gavin, what do you think?
Absolute thumbs up. He makes you think. He puts, like you said, another option on the table, and that's what we need. Need some options.
Yeah, I give the book a thumbs up. I thought the book, not only did the book lay out a very good case from a statistical perspective, but he also delved into a lot of personal stories through his interviews. He interviewed black women who have married out. He also interviewed black women who have remained single. And I thought he did an excellent job of conveying their stories. And also he made a very persuasive case for this idea of marrying out versus marrying down. So I thought he did a good job of that. Mary Mitchell, the Chicago Sun-Times columnist, has been our guest. Mary, thank you for coming on the show.
Okay, thank you so much for having me.